Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thank you so much for joining us today for some Chic Perspective on business. I've got a great guest for you. First, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Pink Payments, merchant services for women, by women, and supporting women. Thanks to Pink Payments, Chic Perspectives is available today, as well as past episodes on chicentrepreneur.com. And now, let's introduce Kimberly. Kimberly Douglas is the president of Firefly Facilitation. She is an internationally recognized team effectiveness and innovation expert. Over the past 25 years, Kimberly has worked with hundreds of organizations like Coca-Cola, Home Depot, UPS, AT&T, and even the Marine Corps. Wow, we'll have to talk about that. I've worked for the Army. It's an interesting environment being involved in military. Kimberly's latest book, or her new book, came out in May of this year. It's called The Firefly Effect, and we're going to learn all about what the Firefly Effect is and how businesses can use it to really spur innovation from the inside. So welcome to the Chic Perspective Show, Kimberly.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I love being here with you today.
Absolutely. I'm excited that you were able to join us. So the Firefly Effect. Give us the high level. What is the Firefly Effect that people need to be aware of that you talk about?
It's a guidebook for team leaders where I lay out exactly what they can do to tap into the creative talent on their team and basically catapult that into results, improved results for their business.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what everybody's looking for today. How do we improve the bottom line? How do we create better results? And I know a lot of businesses have been doing team-based work for a long time. I mean, that's been around for a while. All big companies are sort of organized in teams, but a lot of times there's not a lot of innovation in the team environment from what I've seen in corporate America. How is this changing? Or why is it important to change that?
I think there are two key reasons that it's changing now. One reason is I believe innovation is the ticket for companies out of the recession. Nowadays, there's so much of a focus on cutting resources, cutting to get to the bottom line, and less of an emphasis on how do you increase that top line. And yet, the very best organizations are finding ways to tap into the creative talent on their teams, targeted in the right direction against the core business challenges and opportunities, and turn that into improved business results. The other reason that I think a lot of teams don't work effectively, and one of the core reasons that I'm brought in by many organizations, is because of a silo-based mentality.
I'm very familiar with the silo-based mentality, and I think that it comes from, you know, the workplace being kind of male-dominated or coming out of that. Men like to compartmentalize everything, and so a lot of corporate culture is very compartmentalized. You know, the salespeople don't talk to the IT people,
right,
who don't talk to the marketing people, and then, you know, you wonder why everybody's not on the same page.
Well, it's hard to quantify the value of relationships, and I think if you look at the new emphasis on emotional intelligence, your impact on others and their impact on you, and how you can work together collaboratively with others. If you believe that's true, even if you don't have the numbers to back it up, you will find that, in fact, you get better results from the team as a whole.
So a lot of times in big companies, there's not a big focus on the individual. Individual creativity is sometimes even, you know, discouraged, you would say, in the past. How is this important? Why do we need to change this type of mentality? And why is, you know, why do you think the real genius can be found inside some of these individuals?
Well, a lot of people don't believe that they are creative. And I'll tell you the truth, I have been guilty of that myself. When I first got the idea to write this book, I was being interviewed by a colleague who was writing a book, and she was going to include some of this information in her book. And she said to me, Kimberly, you really ought to write a book. I said, oh, I couldn't imagine writing a book. I'm not creative in that way. And yet I started thinking about it. I had written articles for professional journals before, and so it's a small leap to say, well, you know, I have written before professionally. Why not? Why couldn't I write a book?
And right. It's just more words, but I already know how, and exactly. I've done it on a small scale, so how can I escalate that to a larger scale?
Absolutely.
So everybody has that creative side, you think?
Especially
even those people that say, oh, I don't have a creative bone in my body.
Especially if you redefine creativity. When I was doing a lot of research for the book on definitions of creativity, and I was driving my 14-year-old to tennis practice, I said, Maddie, what do you think of as creative? So first she gives me that sideways glance, you know, and says, that's random, like a typical teenager. And then she says, well, to be different, to do something no one else would think of. And it was like, oh my gosh, write that down. Because then by our very DNA and our experiences, we are creative. If you use that idea of just being different, being original, to do something no one else would think of.
Because we all are originals.
Absolutely.
Now, I find that sometimes in the corporate world that they try and sort of take that out of you.
Mm.
Or, you know, everybody needs to be marching in the same direction. Let's all sort of look and think the same. And a lot of times leaders, that's their role. Get everybody mm-hmm. looking and thinking and walking in the same direction. How has the role of leadership changed given the current economic challenges that we're facing?
Well, leaders have always been expected to have a vision for the future. And it used to be that I think we went through a time with way too much vision and way too little execution. These leaders were just, come with me, this is the right direction to go. And yet they weren't clear about how each person could contribute to that success. The leaders of today, if you look at what, for example, Marcus Buckingham describes great managers as being great chess players. And I absolutely love that quote because it says that if you as a leader know the unique talents of everybody on your team and know how to apply those talents against the right strategic direction, the power is just incredible, not to mention how much more engaged people are. Gallup studies say that the more that people get to do the work they do best, the more engaged, the more productive, and the more loyal.
Interesting. I mean, getting people to be more productive in the workplace, I know, is such a focus for so many companies right now. What are some of the things that or ways that they can apply the material in the book to get their workforce being more productive?
Well, one of the things that I think is a danger if a leader doesn't address it is when people sit around the team table right now, they may be seeing each other as competitors for limited resources. If the leader does not refocus that energy from a negative connotation and remind everybody that the true competition is outside the organization's walls and really use this time to get focused. I do a lot of strategic planning, and I've started using the term instead, strategic focusing, because it's really about at this point in time with this team, with this organization where it is right now, what is the most important thing that we need to be focused on to improve our business results?
Sounds like less is more.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, with the book called Firefly Effect and with my company, Firefly Facilitation, you got to believe I've got some firefly metaphors. And they're finding that the population of fireflies is dwindling around the world.
Really? Oh, that's such a shame.
It is a shame. And you
I
know,
love fireflies.
I do, too. I grew up chasing them.
Me, too. I know. I love how you talk about that in the book.
It's just, it's such a powerful metaphor. And the reason that the population is dwindling is because of too much ambient light. All of these McMansions, and they're tearing down the big fields. And so the fireflies can't do their best work because they're distracted by too much light. And do you get the metaphor?
Wow, that is really interesting.
Yeah.
So there's all of these artificial lights that have sort of taken over the need for the firefly to share their natural light.
Right.
And they're in that not having a purpose, they have less reason to shine and to continue to propagate.
Absolutely. And you see so much of the tyranny of the urgent, you know, the fad of the day, the crisis or the fire drill of the day. And employees get distracted. And it's that if you don't get them refocused on what's really most important that they can have an impact on, then they just squander their efforts. And at the end of the day, they feel very unproductive.
Right. I know a lot of people feel that way in their job. And especially today, you want to make sure you're being productive.
Yeah.
You want to leave work saying, I really helped the company's bottom line today.
Yeah.
I made a difference. I made an impact. So what can people do to get that ability to shine their unique light, whether it's having a better relationship with the managers or leaders around them? How do individuals tap into that and start sharing their unique light again?
Well, at the risk of going too far with the firefly metaphor, I'll also share one other fact that leads into your question. Do you take a guess how many species of fireflies you think there might be?
Species? Oh, gosh, I've never thought about it. Well, I don't know, 10, 20, what?
That is such a common response I get. Would you believe there are 2,000 species
no
of
kidding.
Fireflies? Yes, there's 150 here in the United States. So I say that if a simple firefly can be that complex, how much more unique are each one of us? And a lot of times companies go through all of this expense. If you've heard of Myers-Briggs, for example.
Sure.
It's a great tool for people to understand themselves. But my joy is in helping people to understand themselves as part of a team. And so the tool I use is the Herman Brain Dominance Instrument. It's a great, I call it the user-friendly Myers-Briggs, because it helps people to understand what their own strengths are, what their weak spots or blind spots might be, which then means you can tap into the talents of other people on the team.
Interesting. So it's about understanding what your strengths and weaknesses are and differences, and then using that in a team environment.
Yeah, it's so exciting when you go through a team debrief and they get to see what those strengths are and how they can complement each other. And especially with now some people losing their jobs and everybody having to do their jobs plus their own. If you throw away the job descriptions and say, truly, what is the most critical work of the team that needs to be done? And then we look at the skills that we have on the team. How do we divide and conquer so that we're all in this together?
So I know you've done a lot of great consulting projects for some big organizations. Can you share with us, and I don't know if you can say companies' names or not, but what are you seeing out there as a consultant getting into some of these big companies? What are they challenged with, and what are you helping them to make improvements on?
Well, one of the most recent consulting engagements that I did that was very exciting was working with McKesson. They were bringing together 140 of their managers for a mid-year managers meeting. And the core purpose of this was to identify and focus in on 8 core challenges and opportunities that they wanted this group of 140 to deploy against. And it was so exciting from the pre-work that gets sent out to them to begin to prepare them to focus in on their selected problem, teaching them how to do mind mapping and use the impact versus effort grid for how to actually decide what solutions will be implemented, and then to present that to the executive team the next day. How empowering for these managers to really be focused on something so critically important.
Oh, sure. And I would think there's even more of a need today for companies to really, as you said, focus in on what are the most important things to do. Now, from time to time, you know, the office environment, I think, can also stifle creativity. You talk a little bit about escaping the office for a creative excursion. How does this play into productivity and getting new ideas and innovation?
I used to be an organization effectiveness manager at Coca-Cola, and we had some incredibly powerful creativity excursions, if you will. One of these was our organization effectiveness team visited the Lockheed plant to see how a plane was built and to look at the camaraderie that it takes to be able to take this plane from the beginning all the way to the end. Another field trip, if you will, that we went on at Coca-Cola was we broke up into teams and visited various examples of teams. So one of us went to a jazz ensemble. One of us, the team I was on, went to the San Francisco Zoo. Another team went to a fire station. Another team went to an emergency room. And the way that these teams functioned, there were some similarities, but there were some differences too. So understanding what's the best form of team for the environment that you're in, the role that you're expected to serve, and then creating that environment. Don't leave it to chance that it's just going to happen.
So, I mean, all of these are different examples of teams coming together, of diverse resources, everybody playing their role and culminating into one great group effort. But there's differences in how the teams interact. So what can happen if, you know, you've chosen the wrong type of team format or you're not aware of everybody's individual efforts coming together? What are some of the dangers or problems you've seen in team dysfunctionality, if you will?
Absolutely. One of the issues that I'm often brought in for is conflict on the team. And how do you deal with that conflict? And to tell you the truth, if you think of conflict just as a matter of course, as a negative thing, and try and stamp it out, you're not being realistic. There's going to be conflict. Anytime you've got two people working together on a team, there's going to be conflict.
That's an interesting point, because I think especially women sometimes struggle with, you know, want everybody to get along, and you don't want to make any waves. And so sometimes you back down instead of really holding true to what you are, feel strongly about, or whatever point you want to strongly make. But saying, hey, there's going to be conflict. Anytime you're working with different people, you're going to see things differently. So don't be afraid of that. How do you move forward with conflict and still come to an outcome that's going to serve everyone?
Well, I think leaders have to have that positive view of conflict. Jerry Hirschberg, when he was president of Nissan Design Group, used to hire people in pairs. He'd hire an engineer right beside a marketing person so that it makes
sense. The very opposite personalities and strengths working side by side together.
Exactly. And it makes sense, because then you have the engineer trying to design a car that the marketing people will say will actually sell. So if you bring those two halves together, and he created coined a term for it called creative abrasion. I just love that term, because it really gives this mindset. I call it, it's almost like two tectonic plates rubbing against each other. And it can be either my way or your way. Or if you rub together and you see it as creative abrasion, then you can form a third way, this mountain that is loftier and more ideal than any solution the two of you could have gotten to by yourselves.
Interesting. So it really can be a source of finding a new solution.
Yes.
Now, Kimberly, I like to ask all of my guests here on Chic Perspectives if they would share a chic tip of their own, something that's been kind of a cornerstone of their career success. What type of chic tip have you got for us today?
Oh, this is such an easy one for me, that it truly is about discover your passion and follow it to the hilt. I was very lucky. In undergraduate school, I took this course, saw a film of this consultant coming in from the outside, helping this manager learn how to better motivate and communicate with his team. And I said, I don't know what that's called, but that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I know the power of that. And you listen to Malcolm Gladwell talking about the outliers, and it's 10,000 hours to be really good at what you do. If you don't have passion for it, you're never going to be able to give that kind of commitment.
That's huge. I mean, and I think that's even more important now so than ever. Yeah. What are some of the things that you're seeing in the business world today as far as how people are battling against the recession and coming out of it? What are the best practices that you see big companies really using that are strengthening their competitive advantage in the marketplace?
Well, one of the things I believe the best organizations are doing now is realizing that there is going to come a time when this war for talent is going to resume. And if you are not doing things now to re-engage your top talent, then as soon as we turn the curve, and I would tell you the truth, I think your best top talent is always on the market because they can be found. I like to say if you treat your talent as though they are volunteers, because in your best talent, they really are. They are choosing to work for your organization.
Because they have other options.
Exactly.
So if you think of them with that kind of a mentality, what is that? What does that look like? If you're viewing your top talent as volunteers, if you're the manager of a team and you're saying, man, I'm really lucky to have these people, how does that make you manage and lead your team differently than, hey, these people are lucky to have a job?
Oh, my gosh. How many times have I heard that kind of a negative connotation out there? They should just be lucky to have a job because the economy is so bad.
Right. So they should feel privileged to stay late and to, you know, slave on boring work or do whatever is being asked.
Exactly. So if a manager is not taking this opportunity, and especially over this next couple of weeks before the start of 2010, if they're not taking this opportunity to bring the team together, assess where they are currently, assess what the core objectives are for the company for 2010, and positioning this team to be prepared to just soar as soon as January starts off, there's something about that new year starting.
It has a momentum to it that if you don't take advantage of it, I think it's foolish because you do have this great opportunity to capitalize on the fact that you've got workers coming in now with a fresh perspective. You know, they're ready to bring that enthusiasm and zeal back to the workforce. So finding a way to funnel that, I think, into what's going to lead to corporate productivity can be a big a win for companies. So that's terrific and very timely right now that everybody needs to be thinking about how do we start off 2010? Because I know 2009 has been a disappointment for a number of organizations, large and small. And it's really important to kind of wipe the slate clean mentally and say, all right, we're ready to charge back with a vengeance here. We've got our strategy. We know what we're doing. We're focused. What last bits of advice would you give people for how to take on 2010 and really capitalize on it?
And at this point, I'd love to talk to the individual as opposed to talking to the manager. For this next 2 weeks, a lot of companies, it's a sort of a slower time as people gear down for 2009. I'd say take a look at your performance appraisal. What were the key things that you were to be working on for this year? And figure out how do you tackle that perhaps with especially strong gusto in this last couple of weeks. One other thing I'd suggest, too, is talk to your manager. Find out if there are things that he or she is responsible for that they would love some help with, because everybody's stretched thin. And if it's something that you can stretch and take on, you'll be a hero in your manager's eyes.
Right. Sounds like some big brownie points to me.
Yeah.
We are talking with Kimberly Douglas here on the Chic Perspective Show. She is the author of the critically acclaimed book, The Firefly Effect. Now, Kimberly, you do consulting as well as speaking. Any upcoming events that you want our listeners to know about, or what's the best way for them to get in touch with you and find out what's going on in your world?
Well, my website is www.fireflyfacilitation.com. I have a blog. I'd love for people to take a look at the blog, comment on it. I've got a number of different speaking engagements coming up. I just was notified that I'm going to be at the Society for Human Resources Management annual conference.
Oh, great.
June.
SHRM. That's a wonderful one.
Yes, I'm very excited about that and a number of different engagements coming up. And all of that is included in my newsletter, so you're welcome to sign up and I'll keep you posted.
Fantastic. Well, we'll make sure to get that link out to everybody again as well. Kimberly, it's been such a pleasure getting to know you here in the studio today. Thanks so much for coming in. I wish you continued chic success with all that you're doing, and congratulations for being such a chic entrepreneur with this work. I love the book and all of it, so this has been fantastic.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
This is Elizabeth Gordon signing off from this episode of Chic Perspectives. Check out more Chic Perspectives at chicentrepreneur.com. Once again, thanks so much to Pink Payments, our sponsor. Pink Payments, merchant services for women, by women, and supporting women. Thanks for joining us today. Check out more Chic Perspectives online. Until next time, wishing you all chic success.